When I was 16, we had two cars in my family. We called them two different things. One of them was the work car, and the other one was the good car. Did any of you ever grow up in a family like that? The work car and the good car. And the work car was the one that Dad took to work, and that's the one that we as teenagers would drive most of the time because we had to. And then there was the good car. And that was the one that was newer and nicer, and that was the one that Dad and Mom used. And every now and then, if you had a special date or you just caught them in a good mood, you'd get to drive the good car. And I can remember those times when I was 16 and I would beg to use the good car, and I would say to Dad, listen, I promise you, if you let me drive the good car, I will be back on time. Now, what I meant by that was, if you were foolish enough to give me those keys, I will turn up again sooner or later. And don't just hear that part, young people. And hear this part. And I always paid a price for it. But you know, isn't that funny? That's kind of human nature, isn't it? We make all kinds of promises about all kinds of things, and we mean it when we say it, but not really. The whole time we're making those promises, we know I'm not really serious about keeping my word on this. I am so glad that the Lord's promises are not like my promises. I am so glad that God never says to me, this is what I'm going to do, when he always intends to do something different. Not one of his promises has ever gone unfulfilled. Isaiah 43:19, our theme verse for the year, says, behold, I will do a new thing. Now it will spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. That is God's promise. It's God's promise in his word. It's God's promise to our lives. And it is God's promise to our church. And for most of this year, we're going to be unwrapping this special promise from God. We're going to be taking this passage phrase by phrase. And I've already prepared or begun to prepare a series a group of sermon series that are just going to talk about all of the different dimensions of this promise that God has given us. I'm not going to preach just so we can know things, although there's no more powerful thing we can say than, thus saith the Lord. I'm going to preach so we can experience God's plan and God's promise for us as a church. And we're going to begin with all of that this morning by going to that great declaration that God gives at the very beginning when he says, I will do a new thing. What is God saying when he makes that promise? Behold, I will do a new thing. What God is saying is this: I have a plan, I have a strategy, I know what I'm up to, and I will bring it about. All you have to do is trust me and follow me. And I believe that God's plans are built upon bedrock spiritual principles. There are things that God says to us that are true, and they're always true, and they're constantly going to be true. And when God says to us, I will do a new thing, then God wants us to do it, to live according to his word. God wants to do a new thing in our church because we are committed to being a place of grace. When I first came to this church, I talked about the fact that I believe God's great purposes for our church or any church is to be a place of grace. And it's an acrostic that we use together. And this morning, I want us to begin to revisit that acrostic. We looked at it together at the very beginning. And now here we are a year and a half together. We're going to go back to it again because it's just that important. Behold, God will do a new thing in a church that is committed to glorifying God, reaching people, actively committed to ministry and to missions, a caring fellowship, exercising biblical discipleships. Those are God's great purposes for his church. If you ask, is this church a biblical church? You don't ask that question and say, well, I mean, you don't answer that question by saying, yes, you can tell by the number of people who were here. You don't say, well, you can tell by the spirit of the service. You don't say that. What you say is, yes, this church is a biblical church because it's built upon a biblical bedrock, and I believe that's the bedrock of what we're going to be. And so for the next 5 weeks, we're going to take each one of these topics apart again, and we're going to look together at what it means to be a church that glorifies God and reaches people and cares about one another. We're going to look at how each of these promises are fulfilled. And we're going to begin at the beginning by looking at God's call to glorify Him. One of the things I loved about our worship this morning was not only that it was beautiful, not only that it was inspiring, but it was glorifying to God. Everything we sang, everything we heard lifted the Lord up and said, you, Lord, you are worthy, you are holy, you are gracious, and you are good. You deserve everything we are and everything we can do. You deserve all of it, Lord. We glorify you. So this morning, I want to invite you to look with me at how we can be a church that glorifies God. So let me start by simply saying this. A church that glorifies God is intentionally Christ-centered. That's Paul's appeal in 1 Thessalonians 3:1. And although we read five verses together, we're going to focus on just that very first verse during the service this morning, where Paul wrote and simply said, "Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may run swiftly and be glorified, just as it is with you." Paul said, "Pray for us." When he used that phrase, the intentional purpose was a tremendous desire to be a faithful witness to Jesus. What was Paul saying? He was saying, pray for us that we will be faithful in our witness to Jesus Christ. When he wrote that phrase, particularly the word of the Lord in this passage, you have to remember what he's talking about. Paul is not talking about scripture at this point. When he says, pray for us that the word of the Lord may run swiftly, he's not talking about scripture. Remember, at this point, there was no New Testament. He was not deliberately referring to the Bible. Instead, he was talking about a gospel witness. Now, the best way to explain what I'm trying to say is, when Paul originally wrote this phrase, it would not be emphasized as the word of the Lord. It would be the word of the Lord. The word of the Lord needs to go forth from this place. Paul wanted to be effective in witnessing to Christ. He was saying, pray for us that our witness to Jesus, that our pointing toward Christ will be effective and strong and real. Paul wanted to be effective in letting other people know that Jesus was Lord. And a church that glorifies God is a church that keeps its focus on the gospel of a crucified and risen Christ. What kind of church is that, First Baptist Birmingham? We've been talking about the seven words we want to use this year. Let me tell you about my church. Well, number one that we need to be able to say, let me tell you about my church. My church points to Jesus. My church is committed to the gospel. My church wants to know that people can come to this place and they can come into a saving knowledge of God through His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. And when we glorify God, it means we are committed to lifting up Jesus. It's not about us. It's all about Him. We exist to serve our Lord. We are here to honor Jesus. It is the purpose of not this church, but all churches. And yet, when you listen to much of what is happening in the church today, the church around us, you would think the opposite was true. It's not about Him. It's really more about me. Jesus is committed to me. He wants me to be happy. He wants to meet my needs. It's all about me. And too many times you sit in a congregation like this one and you listen to music and you hear a message and every bit of it says, God is all about you. God is all about you. God wants to make sure that you are warm and comfortable. God wants to make sure that you know you are cozy and you are loved. God wants you to walk out of here with a smile on your face because it is all about you. But that is not what the Bible says. The Bible says we glorify God when we walk into this place and we know from beginning to end, it is not about me, it is all about Him. It is all about our Master. It is all about our Savior. It is all about the Lord. I believe one of the reasons the church has lost that influence is because the cross has largely disappeared from our worship and our preaching. We've just about lost a vision of a crucified Christ. Not because people don't believe in Jesus, but because when you focus on the cross way too much, it makes us uncomfortable to admit we are really sinners in need of the power of the cross. We'd rather think better about ourselves. You know, the truth is, most of the time, folks really want to hear a message that says, you're really pretty good. You just need to be a little bit better. You're really a very nice person. You just need a little polish. But we glorify God when we simply say, we are here in this place, we are gathered to worship because we know we are sinners. We are sinners. How many times over the years have I heard people say, I'm not going to go to that church or any church. We all know the church is full of hypocrites. It's not true. Church is not full of hypocrites. You know what church is full of? Sinners. Sinners. Sinners that admit, I'm a sinner. Sinners who say, if it weren't for Christ, I would be lost. Sinners who are willing to admit, I need His help all of the time, every day, because without Him, I am lost. Sinners who have found a Savior. We'd rather think better about ourselves. So many people who could not quote a single verse of Scripture these days can quote a popular Christian speaker who simply says, God is most glorified in me when I am most satisfied in Him. And I say, that sounds really nice. It's just not very biblical. It's a long way from 1 Corinthians 2:2. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And glorifying God teaches us it is not about us. It is all about Him. And our church will glorify God when anybody who steps into this place understands that our focus is unapologetically upon Jesus Christ, a crucified and risen Lord. And not ourselves. The church glorifies God when it is established upon Jesus Christ. The church also glorifies God when it is established on the foundation of Scripture. Now, I said just a moment ago that Paul was not intentionally referring to Scripture when he used that phrase, the word of the Lord. When he said, pray for us that the word of the Lord may run swiftly. He was not intentionally talking about Scripture, but I do believe the Lord was using him to speak prophetically about the Bible that was to come. He was saying, pray for us that the word of the Lord may be lifted up and honored in the midst of God's people. God was inspiring him to speak about what had already been revealed in the Old Testament, as well as the Scripture that was being written in his day, which would become the New Testament. Because one thing is true is when a church glorifies God, it is because everything that we believe and everything that we proclaim finds its source in the living Word of God. When I stand behind this pulpit, there are things you really don't need to hear from me. You don't need to hear from me, I think. I feel. I hope, I wish. You need to hear, thus saith the Lord. As I've said so many times, the three most powerful words that I or anyone else can ever speak from this pulpit are, the Bible says. The Bible says. The Bible is the one and only way the Lord has chosen to reveal His truth to men. And that's why if somebody ever comes into this church and says, God's given me a new revelation, I know a new truth, God has given me something brand new that nobody's ever heard before, they're not teaching truth. It always begins with, the Bible says. And from beginning to end, the subject of the Bible is the glory of God. It tells us He is our Creator, He is our Redeemer, He is our Sustainer, He is our Comforter and our Guide. The Bible says He is our Savior, our Shepherd, our perfect sacrifice. He is the risen Lord. The Bible says He is the living water, the light of the world, and the only begotten Son of God. He is our hope for eternal life and our assurance of a house not made by hands. How do I know those things are true? Because the Bible says they are true. God has declared them in His Word. And because the grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. You know how I know that's true? The Bible says it, Isaiah 40, verse 8. We glorify God when we stand on His word. And a church glorifies God when we make our faith known. Here's the phrase in that verse that really captures my imagination. He says, pray for us that the word of the Lord may run swiftly. Paul wanted the gospel to go places. He was saying, pray for us that we will spread the gospel, that we will sow the seed, that we will be faithful to God's call in our lives. Paul knew the Lord had put a calling on his life. He was the first missionary. God was sending him to places where the gospel had never been proclaimed, to people that everybody assumed God didn't care about, to share and see people saved that nobody ever imagined would come to know Christ. And why is that important to you and me? Because we are it. We are the ones that those folks in Paul's day assumed God had no use for. We're the Gentile folks. We're the ones separated from God's people. We're the ones not included. Except God told Paul, go to the world. Share the gospel to every soul. Because everybody is precious in His sight. Because nobody is excluded from the kingdom. And anybody who confesses the name of Jesus can be saved. What inspires me so much about what Paul says in this verse is not only what he prayed, but how he prayed. He said, pray for us that the word of the Lord may run swiftly and be glorified. He didn't ask to be safe. He didn't pray to be comfortable. He didn't pray that it would be easy. He prayed, let my witness be faithful and effective. When God is glorified in a church, there is clear evidence that He is moving in and through our lives. Wherever you turn, you recognize God is in the midst of what's going on here. You see Him in our worship. You encounter Him in our teaching. You see Him in our fellowship. Most of all, you find Him in our witness. And we have a desire to make our faith known. We have a desire for people to come to know Jesus Christ, to trust Him as Savior, to follow Him as Lord. It's obvious that there's a heart-deep commitment to Jesus Christ as Lord at First Baptist. And we want others to know. We want to use those seven words. Let me tell you about my church. But what we say next never needs to be something like, let me tell you about how beautiful our sanctuary is. Although it is. Let me tell you how comfortable our seats are. You can come to our church and you will never get tired. It's just that comfortable. You don't even want to say, let me tell you about my church. My preacher is so good looking. Oh, now that hurt. What do we want to tell them? Let me tell you about my church. God is so present in that place. I never go without getting a word from God. I never attend there without hearing a gospel message. I never go there without encountering people that love me with the love of Jesus. Let me tell you about my church. God is present there. And there's nowhere else in the world I would rather be. And finally, we glorify God when we believe that everything begins with prayer. Paul opens that verse with, pray for us. He had a calling and a vision. He had a desire and a passion. But what he did not have, not within himself, was the power to make it happen. He knew he had to be dependent upon the Lord. And we glorify God when we believe he is the only source of spiritual power. I glorify God when I absolutely depend upon him. And when I absolutely depend upon him, then my prayer life is alive. Sometimes if you say to yourself, you know, my prayer life's just been kind of dry lately. I don't seem to find the time or make the time. Or when I pray, it just doesn't seem to mean very much. You've lost that conviction that unless God moves, I'm lost. Unless God uses me, I am useless. Only God can empower Paul. Only God can empower our church. Prayer is an expression of desperate dependence upon the Lord. One of the things that I loved as we got ready for our revival a few weeks ago is on the Wednesday before, Rich did a little Bible study about prayer, and then he brought all of the folks involved in the Bible study up here, and we prayer walked our sanctuary and asked God to send revival. The thing that so struck me and so impressed me that night was watching as we walked through those doors, and all of a sudden it all became very serious and very real. And I watched as folks began to do business with God. And we came together in a group, but before long, individuals were scattered by themselves all around this room. And they were doing business with God. Why? Because we truly do believe, unless we pray and ask God and desperately depend upon God, then we know nothing can happen. Nothing that lasts for long. We glorify God when we turn to him with absolute dependence and trust him to do what he has promised we will do. Remember what Isaiah said, behold, I will do a new thing. I will do a new thing. If you trust me. We glorify the Lord when we surrender to him, turn to him, depend upon him to do what we can never do by ourselves. And God is calling us to pray that he will do amazing things in us and through us that can only be explained by the presence of Jesus. And when we pray that way, we glorify God. We're called to glorify Christ in our church, but first, we are called to glorify him in our lives. Here's the thing that will be absolutely true, and no church will ever glorify the Lord Jesus Christ until the people who make up that body of faith glorify Jesus in their own personal lives. Until each one of us is saying, God, not just be glorified in my church. God, be glorified in me. God, help me to pray. Help me to go. Help me to tell. Help me to share. Help me to trust. Help me to depend. Help me to be centered on Jesus. Help me. And then God moves. So I wonder this morning, what about in your own personal life? Are you ready to pray for yourself? Pray for me that the Word of God may run swiftly and be glorified through my life. And if you said yes, what would it mean? For somebody here this morning, it would mean coming into a personal relationship with Christ, because you're lost. You're separated from God. You don't have a personal faith in Jesus. You might believe in God in a general kind of way, but that God who loved you enough to take on flesh and die for you and rise again that you might have eternal life, you don't know him yet, but you need to. And maybe in just a minute when we get up and we sing our invitation hymn, you'll need to come forward and I'll be glad to meet you here and I'll help you get to know Jesus. Or maybe you need to call here to the church and say, I just need to talk to somebody about how to trust Christ. Or maybe you're here and part of glorifying God in your life means being part of this fellowship because you know what God is doing here and you want to be a part of it. And this is where you want to plant your life and you want to plant your faith and you want to plant your service and you want to do it here. Or maybe you're here as a believer and there's a decision that God's been leading you to make. An act of surrender, an act of commitment, an act of rededication. God may be speaking to you and saying, I want you to do it. And I want you to step out and do it in front of everybody. What's God want you to do? Just a minute, we're going to sing our invitation hymn. It'll be your chance to come. And all you've got to do is take that first step in obedience, bringing glory to Jesus. And he will do the rest. Do you need to come? Let's stand together. Let's sing.